Okay. Let's turn, please, to the Gospel of John. We're going to read a part of a familiar record, I think, for all of you. And what I want to look at this morning is a scripture in Romans chapter 12. And we're going to consider some things about loving or love without hypocrisy. Okay? Well, let's open with this record, and then we'll get into that. It's in John chapter 13 is where we're going to start. This is a time where it's near the end of Jesus Christ's time with his men. And they had just had supper together. Jesus Christ knew at this point that Judas would betray him. And Judas had left. Judas hadn't left by this time. But Jesus Christ knew it was going to be Judas. And this record opens with he knew that his hour had come. Okay? And in verse 1 it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." This loving them unto the end doesn't mean the end of his life. It means he loved them unto the end. He loved them all the way. Okay? It's similar to a word that we're going to look at when we close. But he loved them to the like to the nth degree might be a way that we would say it. Okay? At this point, he knew his hour had come. He knew it was now. You know, just not too long prior to this, he thought he would have Passover with these men. He was preparing for that. But he was going to be the Passover this particular year. Verse 2, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." we'll get this in a few minutes maybe. Anyway, he knew that he was from God and that he was going to God. Verse 4, "He arose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." This was a job reserved to the lowliest servant. You know, today in certain circles they do what they call foot washing ceremonies and so on. This was genuine. This was genuine. He was teaching them something. He was the Son of God. He was the one that had been promised all the way from Genesis chapter 3. He was the one unto whom God gave words. King James Spirit gave spirit without measure. It's a figure put for words. He gave him words without measure. Everything that Jesus Christ said, he did it as he was directed by his Father. That which he saw and that which he heard. He always did the Father's will. He never did not do the Father's will. And what he was demonstrating to them was service. And it was loving service. It was genuine. Really something. And to teach that, he was doing the job of the lowliest servant. In washing their feet. He arose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, you know, this is something in their culture. I don't know what we have that's comparable to this. But in their culture, this was understood to be a lowly job. The soles of the feet were considered to be offensive. Do you understand that? It was so he was doing this thing. So this would have really kind of rocked him. You know, what was going on here? So he took a towel, girded himself, poured water, began to wash their feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Verse 6, then came he to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? You know, and I understand this. I understand this. You know, in the world, this is not how it works. And Jesus Christ taught them this. There was another point in time, remember, they were fighting over who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know? And then James' mom was kind of lobbying for her boys. Right? And Jesus Christ said, look, you know, this is what the Gentiles do. They lord over. But not here. Not here. Whoever's greatest among you will be your servant. That's something. Jesus Christ didn't come, he said, the word says, to be ministered to. He came to what? To minister. See? But if anybody had the qualification to be waited upon, it would have been Jesus Christ. Right? See, but he did the opposite. And in so doing, he is exhibiting God's nature. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. So understanding that, and then you read, you know, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ is demonstrating that quality of the Father in washing their feet. And Peter, so I understand Peter saying, whoa, 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 whoa. What? You are washing my feet? Jesus answered, and he said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. It's kind of cool. There's going to come a time, Peter. Isn't that something? You may not understand this now, and I don't think Peter did. But there'll come a time where he would. Peter said unto him, you'll never wash my feet. Peter really wasn't getting it. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You cannot be a part of this thing. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my head and my hand. You know, this is really something. It's right. You kind of laugh at it. It's like, God, I'm going to take a shower. But it really exhibits something awesome. Peter didn't understand. He really didn't. But you know what he understood? He understood that Jesus Christ was speaking the truth. That's what he understood. See? Isn't that something? So maybe I don't get it, but man, give me a shower. Because, you know, isn't that something? And it exhibited that quality. And sometimes it's like that. You just don't understand. But boy, you take God at his word. You know, and then that understanding comes. And there's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, give me a shower. Verse 10, Jesus said unto him, he that is washed need not save but to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who was going to betray him. So after he'd washed his feet, he says, do you know what I've done to you? You call me master and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Isn't that something? You know, he taught them that service, and it was a genuine service. It was genuine love that he was demonstrating to them. Later on in this record, in the Gospel of John, he says to them, a new commandment that I give you, that you should love one another. You know, as I have loved you, so love ye one another. And then he says, by this, by, where is that? Is that John, is that 16? Who knows offhand?
What are we looking for?
New commandment I give to you, that you should love one another?
13:34.
Thank you. Yeah, that's it. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. See? So, and we know from the word that God is love. See? So, here we have this example. We have this new commandment that he is giving these men, and that it would be by this love, by their demonstrating this love, that others would know that they belong to Christ. Now, with that in mind, let's go to Romans.
Okay.
Romans chapter 12. We're not really going to look at a lot of scriptures today, but this is something, boy, just to chew on. You know, Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, it is the practical response or the practical application of the doctrine that comes before it. Okay? And it opens with, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. Okay. So I beseech you by the mercies of God. That mercy of God, which resulted in God's grace, is what's been discussed prior to this in the book of Romans. Prior to Romans 12, Romans reveals that we're righteous. We've been completely justified from the guilt and the penalty of sin. We've been delivered from the wrath of God and the condemnation of Adam. That's something. We're at peace with God by what Jesus Christ accomplished. We have access to God through Christ. We have an absolutely sure hope in which we're not going to be disappointed. We are totally identified with Christ. When he died, from God's perspective, when he died, we died. The penalty of sin was paid. We died. When he got up, we got up with him. Isn't that something? See? When he was raised, we were raised with him. Totally, totally identified with Christ. Sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. Holy Spirit and all that comes with that. The manifestations. The ability to walk with God. Where God can work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. All of this stuff was just simply given by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. See any mercy in this? Right. It's really something. I want to look at a couple places where this love is talked about that we're going to look at. As a matter of fact, let's just go ahead and read the verses that I want to zero in on. And it's in 12, and it's down in verse 9. You know, before we get here, it opens with these mercies of God, some of which we've just considered. Then it goes into the body. Into the body of Christ. And how that each one of us has been given a gift, a ministry, a function to perform in this body of Christ as it has pleased him. It says in Corinthians. You know? So what we are to do then, in response to all this stuff that we have in Christ, is to get busy doing that which God has given us to do. Isn't that cool? See? And then it gets into that walking in the one body. And it opens here in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. The word dissimulation is hypocrisy. And we'll consider that in just a minute. But before we go on here, there's a couple other places where this love is talked about. One of them is in Romans 5. I'm going to go there, just flip a page. We read some of this last week. Verse 5 of Romans 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, will not be disappointed, or lead to disappointed expectations, because the love of God is shed abroad, or it's poured out. It's been poured out by Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. God has demonstrated his love by giving us of his life, Spirit. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, or at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, or demonstrated, his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. Isn't that something? When we were enemies, when we were sinners. This is unqualified love. He gave his son on our behalf. And then he demonstrated that love by the giving of Spirit, giving of Holy Spirit. This love is also discussed prior to Romans 12 in Romans 8, where nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ. Isn't that something? There is nothing. Height, depth, nothing. There's nothing in this world, there is nothing that exists that can separate us from that love of God. Which is, you just sit and sip on that for a few minutes, a few hours, a lifetime. Let's go back to Romans 12. So it's love. Love without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to the good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. That literally means leading the way in showing honor one to another. Because each one of us was worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this love without hypocrisy, we've considered some of what precedes it, but what comes after, it's this genuine love, that honor that you show to one another. See? It's all rooted in this loving, genuinely. Loving without hypocrisy. You know what hypocrisy is. It's a word that means you're acting. You're putting on an act. It's not genuine. The Pharisees. Jesus Christ warned his men to be beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. See? The Pharisees were hypocrites because they sought the honor that came from men rather than God. It was important to them how they looked. That they looked spiritual. That they looked pious. That they looked, whatever. And hence they were hypocrites. See? Isn't that something? And that love that the Word of God's talking about is to be done without hypocrisy. Free from hypocrisy. It's genuine. It's genuine from the heart. And you know what that's going to take? That's going to take us knowing and understanding the love that God had for us. It's going to take understanding that unqualified love that's been demonstrated by our Heavenly Father and the love that was demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ in giving himself over. And the more that we understand that, the more that we know that, the more that we build that in our hearts, that is what's going to begin to enable us to love genuinely from the heart. To see one another and receive one another as Christ genuinely from the heart. See. I'm not loving because I have to. I'm not loving because I'm supposed to. Sometimes it'll feel like that, you know what I mean? But I go with the word, I build the word, I build the word, and then it's, I love because I really am starting to get what Jesus Christ did for me, what I've been forgiven for, what an idiot I really am. You know? You know, and it's kind of a funny way to say it, what an idiot I am, but I tell you, you know, when I first got in the word, I mean, I was so thankful. I was so thankful to God. I was thankful. But you know what? I didn't really fully understand all that I'd been forgiven for. I really didn't. I didn't really understand all that I would need to be forgiven for as I walked. I was just tripping on, I'm a son of God. I got Christ in me. I can do stuff. You know? But you just keep building the word. You keep building the word, and it's so humbling. It's so humbling what God's done, how He loves me no matter what. No matter what. And, you know, I can do some stupid things sometimes. We all can, right? And God loves me no matter what. He's my Father. It's just awesome. And when I understand this love without dissimulation or without hypocrisy, and then how that continues through the book of Romans. You know? Romans 13, we don't make provision for the flesh, but we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Romans 14, we don't judge one another. If we're going to judge anything, let's judge whether or not I'm putting a stumbling block in your way, or you're putting a stumbling block in my way, right? See? Where I'm just walking in love, and I'm aware. Isn't that awesome? And that's what it's talking about. And that's how this thing's supposed to work. But it's going to take building God's word. There's a record I want to look at briefly in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. You know, on your way to Galatians 2, I'm going to read something real quick in 1 Corinthians. Because this is also used, this same word for hypocrisy. Or without hypocrisy. And it's in Romans 6. Or I'm sorry, Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians 6. What's that?
Is it 1 Corinthians?
Yes, it is 2 Corinthians 6. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. This opens this chapter with, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Just real briefly, there were a number of things going on at Corinth. And one of these things was there were men who were fronting themselves as, you know, men of God. And they were commending themselves. And they were actually bringing these saints in bondage. And what Paul, by revelation, he is demonstrating to them, he is showing them what the real deal looked like in a nutshell. This is sort of a simplistic way to view it, but that's sort of what was going on here. So they're workers together with God. Verse 3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving or exhibiting ourselves as the ministers of God. Now watch this. In much patience, afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, labors, watchings, fastings, by pureness, in knowledge, by or in long suffering, in kindness, in Holy Spirit, in love, unfeigned. And that word unfeigned is without hypocrisy. See? Isn't that something? And that's how they lived. That's how they lived. Because they had so built who they were in Christ and what Christ had done for them. See? And it wasn't about them any longer. With some of these other men that were coming into Corinth, it was about them. You know, here's my credentials. Here's what I've done. Here's where I've been. Here's this. Here's that. See? Paul just lived. That's something. He just loved. See? He just made known the gospel. Really something. Anyway, Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to see that come up in this record. Real quick, this is shortly after the council at Jerusalem. What had happened was, is there were a number of folks that had come from Jerusalem. And they had come to Antioch, which was a headquarters where the Gentiles were getting born again. And it was just a magnificent church in Antioch. And Paul was there. And there were those that had come from Jerusalem. And they said, great, you're saved, great this, but you need to be circumcised. And so Paul set up a council, and they debated it and decided, no, no. See, Paul knew the truth of what Jesus Christ had done. And it's almost like you had two denominations. It's not too dissimilar from how denominations work today. You know, you got the group in Jerusalem, they were into the law, then you got the Gentiles. Well, they had this big council, and, you know, Peter, boy, he just spoke, walked with God, how God had worked in him to make this known unto the Gentiles of the house of Cornelius. And then James sort of had the final word, which is an indicator that James was sort of running the show at this point. And what happened was, is they left, and they went back. They went back to Antioch. And Peter went to Antioch, where Paul and Barnabas and these folks were. Now, you got to understand, Peter was, he was looked up to. And this is Peter. He was with Jesus Christ, right? So he was looked up to, big time. Understandable. And Paul addresses these things in this record. So he talks about this council. We're going to pick it up in verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Okay. So before these men came from Jerusalem, sent by James, Peter was just hanging out with the Gentiles. It's one body. It's one new man. There's no difference, right? That's the truth of the word. And Peter was just fine. Not a problem. But we read here, when those came from James, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Really something. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. These words for dissimulation are a different form of the word hypocrisy. Peter knew the truth. And that's something. He knew what Jesus Christ had done. And the great hypocrisy was, is that he withdrew himself from the Gentiles in front of the Judeans to make it look like it was out of respect or reverence for the Mosaic law. The truth was, he was afraid of them. Isn't that something? So, it's amazing to see what can happen to a man. But Paul spoke up. And Paul fought for those saints. Could you imagine the effect on the saints to have Peter? I mean, it even affected Barnabas. It says Barnabas was caught away with it. Really something. See? But Paul stood up. and he spoke God's word. He loved without hypocrisy. It didn't matter that it was Peter. It didn't matter what. He fought for God's people. Isn't that something? It's just awesome. And it's a demonstration of Paul's love, of his loving without hypocrisy in this record. It's a great record to spend some time with. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and that's where we're going to close. You know, there's a couple other things that it talks about we're to do without hypocrisy, or one other thing that we're to do without hypocrisy, and that's believe. Genuine believing. And that genuine believing is going to come from a knowledge of God's Word. It's going to come from the Word. Boy, we keep landing back at the Word, don't we? Yeah. Just the importance of building Scripture, the importance of spending time in the Word, so that when we believe, it's a genuine believing, it's from the heart. It's not to look good. It's not because we're supposed to. It's not out of concern of what others think. But it's genuine because of the Word we've built. 1 Peter, this word is also used, and I wanted to read this. Another thing where it talks about without hypocrisy is wisdom. The wisdom of this world, one of the things it is it's hypocritical. But the wisdom that's from above is pure. See? There's no hypocrisy. It's genuine wisdom. It's the real deal. Isn't that cool? The wisdom of this world looks like wisdom. It sounds like wisdom. People say it's wisdom. But it's not. It's just often false. It's fake. But that wisdom from God is right. It's genuine. It's true. It's true wisdom. Isn't that awesome? Just to know those things. But I wanted to close here in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is that I referred to earlier. Jesus Christ loved them to the end, to the nth degree. We hope to the end. We hope to the nth degree. I mean, when I read this, I always think of, you know, the world says don't put all your eggs in one basket. This verse is saying put all your eggs in this basket. That's what it's saying. Hope to the end. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Sounds a little like Romans 12, 1 and 2. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or manner of living or behavior. The word holy means you're separated. That's all it means. That's what it means. You know, God is holy in that he is separate from all other gods. He's the true God. Okay? You and I have been separated because we called on the name of Jesus Christ. We're separated unto God out of the world. We belong to God. So basically what this is saying is live who you are. Live what you've been made in Christ. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in reverence, fear or reverence, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Isn't that something? You know, the world calls silver and gold precious. God says the blood of Christ is what's precious here. That's what you were bought with. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who fairly was foreordained before the foundation or the overthrow of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your believing and hope might be in God. seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. What a great phrase. Purified your souls, your lives, in obeying the truth through the Spirit is not in the critical Greek texts. So it would read, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth unto unfeigned. That's without hypocrisy. Unfeigned what? Love of the brethren. See that? The obeying of the truth. The obeying of the truth is unto what? Loving without hypocrisy. That's where you land in obedience to the truth. In Colossians, it talks about this kind of love as being maturity. This is mature. To love without hypocrisy. Here it's obeying the truth unto that loving without hypocrisy. Isn't that something? And all these things are in that mix. That hoping unto the end. All these things. Recognizing who we are. Recognizing who we belong to. Who our Father is. What we're called to. Seeing you have purified your lives in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. See? That love without hypocrisy. Being born from above. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's the power of the word. See? So, you think love without hypocrisy is a big deal? It's a big deal to Jesus Christ. It was a big deal to Paul. It is key to walking in this body that we've been called to. And here in Peter, it is the obedience of the truth unto that loving without hypocrisy. Isn't that something? Just to love without hypocrisy. And the freedom that comes with that. To be able to do what we do out of that kind of genuineness of heart. Isn't that awesome? You know, and we have it because of God's word, and we have it because of Spirit, and we can do that. You know, where it's just not an act, and but it's real. It's real. And you're free to do that. See? Pretty awesome. So, amen.